For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April the 3rd, 1999. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas is the speaker of the afternoon.
Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you pour your Spirit out this day, Lord. That you come and you pour out your Spirit, Lord. Lord, and anoint the words as they go forth, Lord, that they will go down into the heart, Lord, and bear crop 30, 60, or 100-fold, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and I say that Satan shall not steal this word. But this word shall go down in the heart and shall bear crop in the name of Jesus. We just thank you and praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
When I came down, when I left home, I thought I was going to talk about Jezebel. But you know how it is sometimes when you think something and God changes your plans. Today I want to talk to you about rejection. Because rejection is a very powerful spirit. And if you look up the word rejection in the dictionary, in Webster's New International Dictionary, you'll see it says the act of rejection or being rejected. And so rejection is twofold. One is putting away something or denying something, and the other is receiving denial of being put away. It can either be going out or it can be coming in. Now, rejection has a twofold complex. It either goes out or it comes in. And frequently it does both. Now, if you're being rejected, you feel unloved, unwanted, unappreciated, unworthy. When someone rejects you, you go to them and they reject you. And what comes into you is you say, what's wrong? Am I not loved? Am I not worthy? Am I not appreciated? What did I do wrong that I should deserve this? And that spirit will come into you. Okay. Now, when you reject something, you generally are rejecting authority or rejecting truth. You're refusing to accept it. Now, I've always said that my standard for how much, and when you reject something, if it's against authority, you're in rebellion. If there's an establishment, all authority flows from God's throne. It says in Romans 13 that all authority, I establish authority, I am the final authority, that all authority flows from my throne. And when you reject the civil authority established in the land, if it does not conflict with God's word, now, Peter said, we're going to obey God rather than men. So if the law of the land comes against God's word, then you have a right to reject it. But when you reject it, be aware that you're going to have to suffer the consequences of it. You will still have to suffer the consequences. So I've always said that my standard for rejection, if you want to know how much rejection is where you set your cruise control when you go down the road. You know, in Kansas, the law says 70 miles an hour is the speed limit. But we all know that the highway patrol is not going to give you a ticket unless you're going over 75. You got a 5-mile buffer in there that they give you in case you're speeding. I mean, your cruise control's not working right or something. So they give you a 5-mile buffer, and somebody sets cruise control for 74. When I go down the road, I set mine at 70 miles an hour. You know, boy, folks go by and shoo, 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 shoo. And I'm just sort of steering along. But I tell you, when I see the man over there, you know, he's sitting over there with his radar, I just wave at him as I go by. How you do, sir? I don't have to hit my brake, you know, and hope it'll slow down because maybe that cruise control's got me up to 78 and I might get a ticket.
Right.
I might, it's got me up above. And so hoping that it'll be said too when I go by. So, if you want to know how much rebellion you have in your life, well, you set your cruise control. Now, that's a pretty good standard. Are you rejecting the law? It's the law because you don't agree with it, or because it's inconvenient for you, or because everybody else is doing it. My mother used to always say, well, Johnny jumps in the river, are you going to jump in the river after him? I always said, so-and-so get it. I said, well, if he jumps in the river, you going to jump in the river with him? No, Mother, I'm not going to be that foolish. Same principle. And so, when I looked and I looked and I looked in the Word of God to try to find where you could find rejection, and I found it in Genesis. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. I found it. Well, let's come back to Genesis first. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 16. Put one of them little cords you got there in Genesis 3. You know, one of these little silver things, and come back. And we'll go over to Ezekiel chapter 16 first. And I want to show you rejection. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, know Jerusalem. Cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem. Now, all of you know that Jerusalem is a type of the church. And so he's saying to the church, all Old Testament prophecy was given in type and shadow. It had an immediate meaning, and it had a meaning to the distance and to the future. And these are prophets, they didn't understand what they were writing lots of times, but they wrote it down with the direction of God. And so he says, say to the church, thus says the Lord God to the church, your birth and your nativity were from the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan means rejected or despised. Your father was an Amorite, which is pride, and your mother was a Hittite, which is terror. As to your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut. You were not washed with water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor swathed in swaddling clothes. Now, you know, they washed you off, and then they rubbed you with salt so you wouldn't get infected, and they wrapped you up so you wouldn't get cold. And generally, they did those things so the baby wouldn't die. You know, baby, if the temperature is not 100 degrees, the baby is not supplied with extra heat, in the first 4 hours of life, he will die. The baby will die if it does not have external heat, if the temperature is under 100 degrees, so 95 to 98 degrees. Because he's been in a water bath, and he's red, and he just radiates heat out. And so he will come down to the temperature surrounding him. If it's 70 degrees in that labor room, that baby's temperature will come down to 7 degrees as he sits there long enough without heat. Now, I could talk about that a long time, but I won't. No eye pitied you to do any of these things, or to have compassion on you, but to be thrown into an open field where you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. So there's utter rejection. The church has been rejected. Its nativity has been despised by the world. Despised. That's your heritage. Your heritage is rejection and to be abhorred. Pride and terror come in. Okay. But when I passed by, Jesus said, when I passed by and saw you struggling in your blood, I said in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, live. Jesus Christ walked by and he saw you before the foundation of the earth. It says in Ephesians that you were selected. You were chosen in the beloved before the foundation of the earth. Amen. It says that in 1 Peter and 1 John. Amen. That you were selected according to his foreknowledge. And he looked at you and he said, live. Live. And you lived. He spoke life to you. And I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew and matured and became very beautiful, and your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. Now there you are, you're naked and you're bare and you're growing. Now where else were you naked? You were naked in Genesis. Let's go back now to Genesis. We'll put your little thing there, back their little finger there, and your strip there, and Ezekiel, and let's go back into Genesis chapter 3. Now, we know, it says that God made man in his own image and likeness. He made him out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In God's image and likeness, he made them male and female. The Hebrew word image means shadow, likeness, shadow, illusion. It's the same word that comes down. Now, Derek Prince says that that word has come down into modern Hebrew to mean to have your photograph taken. So if you want to know what you look like God. It's like you've taken his picture. And in his likeness, or meaning in like kind. Now, most Bible commentators say, now it says in the Psalms that God's covering is light. It says he dwells in inapproachable light. Every time he appeared covered with the clouds because he had so much light radiating out from him. He told Moses that you can't look at my face and live. My brilliance is so great, destroy you. Adam was clothed in light like God. Adam was clothed in that brilliant light. He had the glory of God resting upon him. It was in God's likeness, God's image. Now, most Bible commentators agree with that. Now, what happened in Genesis 3? We don't know how long. The Bible doesn't say how long it was that Adam and Eve communed with God. We don't know. It doesn't say. Whether it was a few days or a few thousand years, we don't know. But they were in the garden and they communed with God in the evening. Now the serpent came and he said to Eve, has God not said that you can eat of all the trees in the garden? And he said, oh, no, no, no. We can eat of all the trees except for that one tree over there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God says we can't eat of it. Even if we touch it, we'll die. And he says, no, that's not right. That's not right. You're not going to die. See? The serpent raised doubt in her mind. He says, for God knows that when you eat of that, you're going to be as smart as God and just like God. See, God hasn't given you his best. He's withheld from you. He's rejected you. See, he has held this back, this good thing back from you. Why, if you eat of that, you're going to be as smart as he is. Just like him. Now, Eve looked at it. It was pleasing to the eye. The lust of the eye. The woman saw it. It was good for food. Pleasing to the flesh. Pleasant to the eye. The lust of the eye. And desirable to make one wise. And she said, you know, why shouldn't I be as smart as God? And she rejected God's authority. She rejected the Word of God. And what happened? Rebellion came in. And she rebelled. And she took of the fruit and she ate. And then she turned and gave some to her husband who was standing right there beside her. Didn't open his cotton-picking mouth, you understand. I always thought that the devil had sort of seduced her and sucked her over to the side, you know. And then she was deceived. Then she ran off and got Adam. But that's not in the Bible. It says that he was right in beside her. Now it says the woman, that Paul said the woman was deceived, but the man was not. That's how much he loved his wife. He loved his wife enough that he defied God and ate it when he knew it was wrong. And what happened to them when they ate? Their glory departed from them. God's glory departed from them. The light that they had been clothed in disappeared. And they knew they were naked. They knew they were naked. Now, Scripture, you know, modern art tells you that they said, then they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons or clothing, a covering. Now, modern art tells you they covered their sexual parts. That's what you see them sewing together, and they put one hand, one up here, you know, and they're covering their sexual parts. But the Bible doesn't say. They covered their souls, people. They covered their souls. God found them, rebuked them, placed a curse on them, drove them out of the garden. But before he drove them out of the garden, he did something interesting. Let's see. In verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, God, the Lord God, made tunics of skin and clothed them. He instituted at that time the sacrificial system that stayed in effect until Jesus Christ was hung on the cross. The price that the animal must die for man's sin. Sin, the price for sin is death. If someone died under the old covenant, they brought the goat in or the lamb in without a blemish, a poor innocent little lamb, and they confessed the sin over the animal. Then they killed the animal. And the animal died for the man's sin. And the sin was covered, not forgiven, covered for a year. And once a year, the high priest took two goats, the Lord's goat and the scapegoat. The Lord's goat he killed after he sacrificed a bull for his own sin. Then he killed that, took it in the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled it on the mercy seat to cover those sins for another year. Then he went back out, and that scapegoat was still there. And then they confessed over the head of that scapegoat all the sins of Israel. And they took him out and gave him to the hand of a fit man who took him out in the middle of the desert and left him to die. And Jesus, he bore all the sins of Israel out into the desert. Jesus was your sin goat and your scapegoat. He shed his blood for your sins, and he bore them away. And no more animal sacrifice. He put an end to the sacrificial system. Okay, let's see where we are. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Now, it says in Genesis 5:3, turn over here. It says, this is the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created him, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and after his image, after Adam, and named him Seth. And so there you are. Seth was a godly seed from which Jesus Christ came, but he's in the image of Adam. Not in the image of God anymore. Amen. In the image of Adam. Because Adam has lost God's covering. He's lost the glory. The radiance. Now, where else does it say that anything about radiance? Huh? Oh, where else does it say that? Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise. Well, let's look first at 2 Corinthians 5:23. That can't be right. Well, let's see. It says that we're waiting to be clothed. Okay, 5:1-3, 2-3, 5:2. For this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed we have been clothed, we shall not be found naked. But we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we will be unclothed, but to be further clothed that mortality might be swallowed up in life. In life. We're waiting to get a new covering that's stored up for us in heaven. Now, one of the gifts of the overcomers is that we shall be clothed in garments of white. Where does it speak of that scripture of clothed of garments in white? Let's look at Matthew 17. And here we see a picture, a foretaste of what our heavenly bodies is going. We see two candidates, Old Testament saints, who have been glorified and have their glorified body. And Matthew 17, chapter 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to a high mountain. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared there talking to him. And there you have. We're going to receive the glory of God back when we come into the kingdom. But until then, we say, Lord, cover us. He's not covering us with animal skins anymore. Look what happened to us. Now we can go back to Ezekiel and we can understand Ezekiel a little bit better. Let's go back to Ezekiel 16. Verse 8. And when I passed by you again and looked, and indeed it was a time of love, so I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Now, excuse me. Covered your nakedness. Now, that word wing can be awkwardly translated the corner of his garment. Okay. I spread my covering, and I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, said the Lord. A covenant. Now, what is a covenant? A blood covenant. You know, we have a blood covenant. Abraham entered into a blood covenant with God, sealed with blood. God shed his blood to seal it on the cross. Now, when you have coveting, it's between two parties, a greater party and a lesser party. And they meet. And they meet between an animal. And this is still done in Africa and the Middle East. They'll take an animal and they'll cut him in half. They'll lay the halves out. And one party comes from one side, and one party comes from the other, and they meet in the middle. And there the covenant is spoken. The agreement is spoken. They'll exchange robes, and they will exchange a piece of rope in a circle. It's from this rope in a circle we get the wedding ring. Then they will change clothes, and they will exchange names. And the lesser person will take on the name of the greater. And then they will cut the covenant. And the way it's cut varies depending on tribal custom. Sometimes they'll cut a circle around their thumb and put gunpowder on it to make a good scar so you'll know that they're coveted. Sometimes they just cut, drip the blood into a covenant and drink it. Sometimes they will draw blood out. Quite frequently, the chief will have a representative who is cut and bled for him. He'll have a stand-in. These are all customs. Now, Jews, by law, could not drink blood. And so they drank wine instead. And if you go to a Orthodox Jewish circumcision ceremony today, you will see a reenactment of the covenant. And they will take the wine, and they will take a Q-stiff, and they will put some of it on the circumcision, and they will give the rest of it to the two godparents to drink. Drink the wine. That's the sealing of the covenant. They make certain oaths in Hebrew to bring this child up and so forth. But that is an Orthodox circumcision. Okay. God made a covenant with you. You became... Okay. Now, let's go back to the Last Supper. At the day that communion was instituted, Jesus took the cup and he held it up. And he said, "This is the cup in my blood which is shed for you." That's the same cup, that's the same oath taken by a bridegroom at the betrothal. He holds that cup up to his bride and says, "This is the cup of my blood." And they both drank of it. Now, you must understand, after betrothal, you're married. It takes a divorce to separate you. You just don't get to sleep together for a year. And then he gave it to all of them, his bridegroom, to drink. And he said, "You do this in remembrance of me." So when you partake of the cup, you are reaffirming the covenant that you are the bride of Christ, and you're waiting for your bridegroom to come back, and you're coveted to him, and he is your Lord and master, and you are subject to him in everything. He said, "I cut a covenant with you, and I swore an oath to you, and I covered you with my wing." Well, where else does it say anything about a wing? Well, let's look in Psalm 91. Let's look at that. In Psalm 91... Verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or spend the night under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wing you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Praise you, Lord, He will protect you from the pestilence, from the arrow that flies by night, and so forth. If you stay under the wing, Jesus said to Jerusalem, He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks under the wing. When He looked at Jerusalem and knew what was coming prophetically, He could see the destruction by Titus in 40 years. And He just said, oh, Jerusalem, and He wept over it. He wept because He knew that there would be Jewish people there who would not accept Him as Messiah and who would die. And He said, oh, if you just come under the wing. Instead of staying under the animal sacrifice system, come under my wing. That's what He was speaking of, prophetically. Praise you, Lord. Now, this is shown in type and shadow in Ruth. Let's go back to Ruth. Now, you know, Ruth is right before Judges, which is right before Samuel. It's Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Ruth. I'm sorry. Ruth is right after Judges. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Now, you all know the story of Ruth. Naomi, which means pleasant, and her husband had gone into Moab during a time of famine. He'd lived there, and she had three sons. Her husband died, and the children all died, and she had these daughter-in-laws. And she came back, and one daughter-in-law came, a Moabitess named Ruth, came with her. Wouldn't leave her. And she came back, and she began to glean, and Ruth went out and gleaned in the fields. That means that she walked behind the reapers and picked up what they'd lost. That was the law. Once you picked it up like that, you couldn't go back and pick up anything you dropped. That belonged to poor people. Once you gathered your grapes, you went through and gathered the ripe ones. Anything else that ripened belonged to the poor. They had a right to come and harvest it. Once you shook your olive trees and all the olives fell off and you gathered them, you couldn't go back and get what was left. That belonged to the poor. You couldn't gather the corn of the field. And so forth. They gleaned because they belonged to the poor. And she was a gleaner. And she went to glean in the field of Boaz. And after she gleaned a while, Ruth said, you know, it is time. Boaz is your redeemer kinsman. Now, under Hebrew law, or the Godel, you have to, I'm sure that my pronunciation, they said about me one in high school, I could torture one poor word 10,000 ways. And so if I mispronounce and slaughter these words, I'm sorry. But the principle of the Godel was that if you had a Hebrew person who managed their business so poorly that they were sold in slavery and lost everything they had, and you had a kinsman, a close kinsman, who had the ability to go and redeem that property. He was a redeemer kinsman. And he went and paid you out of debt. But he became your elder brother until the Jubilee. He became your elder brother, and you were subject to him. If it happened to be a woman, he also was obligated to raise up seed. The women didn't have any children. He was obligated to marry the widow and to raise up seed for the dead brother. So, he said, Boaz is your near kinsman, your kinsman redeemer. Go to the threshing floor tonight, and I'll tell you what to say. Let's look in Ruth 3. And you have to understand the threshing floor was a place of sexual immorality, according to Hosea. And so she went there at night after everybody was quiet and snuck in there and lay down at his feet. And he says, Ruth 3. Okay. Verse 8. It happened at midnight. The man was startled and turned. There was a woman lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? And so she said, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are the redeemer kinsman. Now, if you have another translation, it may say, take me under the corner of your skirt, or spread the corner of your garment over me. What she was saying was, marry me, Boaz. She said, Boaz fulfilled your obligation under Hebrew law and marry me. And Boaz said yes. But they added, but he went on and he said, there's another one closer than I, and if he's not going to do it, I will. But the point is, Boaz was a type of Christ. Ruth was a type of the church. And Jesus Christ took you under his wing, as in Hebrew. And if you're under his wing, it's solid. Ain't no holes in it. The enemy can't get to you. The only problem is that there's so many people who are not satisfied with the position that God has given them in life. They want a little different ministry. Or they like another wife. Or another job. Or I want his ministry over there. Lord, I don't like the one you've given me. Or, man, that sure is a good looking one. Why don't I have a wife like that? Or like that one over yonder? Or why didn't God give me a car like that? Or a good house like that? Or a good job? Or why is he making so much more money than me? I don't like those, Lord. I don't like what you provided for me. I'm going to provide for myself. And God has an answer to people like that in his word. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, who devise a covering, but not of my spirit. Now that devise a covering, in the New King James is translated devise plans. Literally in the Hebrew, it means to weave a spider web. So you make a covering for yourself. And it's a spider web. Now you're looking for that spider web, it got all kind of holes in it. Your rain comes through. And the devil, he's up there, and he's got his little arrows, and he's shooting at you. Whoom, whoom. And he just got all kind of holes he can just pierce you. You know, oh, God, oh, God, oh. And you go struggling in the church, and God will heal you because he's gracious. And you get along a little bit better, and then the devil, he's taking a whoom, oh, Lord, and you're back in church again. Oh, brother, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Pray for me! Time and time again. Maybe you ain't got, you're not under God's covering. Maybe you devise that plan yourself. Huh? Now this is spoken of back in Deuteronomy 11:10. Keep your finger there. We'll be back in Isaiah. Take your little ribbon now and put it there in Isaiah 30, because we're coming back to that. But let's go back down here to Deuteronomy 11:10. And let's see what God said to these people. 11:10. Now he said, it started in verse 8, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, and that you may be strong and go and possess the land which you cross over to possess, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go in to possess is not like the land of Egypt, which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. Now, what does that mean, watered it by foot? Now, if you've got a New International, it says you watered it by irrigation. You got on a treadmill. You stood by the side of the Nile and you got on a treadmill and you worked and it brought the water up from the Nile and into the ditch and you irrigated your garden. That's what it means, you watered it by foot. Okay, and he says here, but the land, verse 11, that you cross over into is a land of hills and valleys. It's not flat like the Delta Plain, which drank water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of your God always on it from beginning of the year to the end of the year. See, God's always watching you to look out for you. And it shall be, if you diligently obey my commands, which I command you today, and love the Lord your God, and serve him with all your heart and your soul, I will give you rain in the land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. I'll send grass to your fields, for your, that you may eat and be filled. But take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, and God will hold the rain. And so God has put you in a place where you're totally dependent on Him. Totally dependent on Him. You're dependent for Him to send the rain to water the fields. Got you in a good land, but you're dependent on Him. Now, got that in mind, let's go back to Isaiah 30. And where were we? Oh, yes. Verse 2. Talks about these rebellious children. Who walked back down to Egypt? Back there at the flat plain where they can irrigate it themselves. And have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves and strength of Pharaoh. Now, Egypt is the world and Pharaoh is the devil.
Yes.
The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. And trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. And so God says that when you decide you're going to do it yourself, and you're going to walk away from Him, you're not going to trust God to send the rain. You're not going to obey His laws. You're not going to be where He is and be obedient to Him. But you're going to go out and do your own thing and use your natural ability. You're going to go back into the world. And remember that the whole world system lies on the lap of the evil one. It's going to be your shame and humiliation because you walked away from the Lord your God and not from under His wing and not from under His covering. You have rejected God. And when you do, then rejection comes into you. And I say to you that demons... Now, the reason the Hebrews rejected God because they were stiff-necked people. They had pride. If you read on, it'll say as you were there and your vats were full and your barns were full and your cows were reproducing and everything looked so good, you got stiff in the neck and said, oh, I did this all myself. Isn't this wonderful? Look at me. I'm really a rich man. I'm so smart. My eyes are so bright. My tail is so bushy and I've just done it all myself. Ain't y'all been there? Ain't y'all been there? Yeah. Humiliation. Because with your rejection comes in shame and humiliation. Now, you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and accepted in Him. What I wanted to establish to you today, that rejection is a lack of love. Now, I can't begin to give this as a man who gave it to me. God showed me all of this under the wing of God one day when I was trying to find rejection in the Bible, and He gave me all of this. What I'm giving you now is comes out of Pigs in the Parlor. Frank Hammond was here 2 years ago, and I'd heard Frank do this several times, but I'd never heard him do it quite as well as he did last November. How you cut this thing on, Bill? Now, you see, Frank says that there are two hands. This was given to Ida Mae Hammond. Can all y'all read that? Is that in focus? Bill, is that in focus? It looks a little blurry to me. Can y'all read that? Nobody can read it? Can anybody read it? Hold up your hands if you can read it. Well, he calls it the schizophrenia revelation. I don't like the word schizophrenia because that's a medical diagnosis and it scares people to death. But it's rejection. And rejection is this finger here. And rejection is a lack of love or perceiving to be a lack of love. Now, you can feel rejected and nobody's ever rejected you. But you can feel this. I mean, if you perceive you're rejected, it's the same as being rejected because it's a lack of love, and so you have a fear of rejection, and self rejection. You say, "Gosh, something must be terribly wrong with me. There's just something wrong with me. I'm just there's something wrong with me here." I'm just such a terrible person that nobody could love me. And so then you have fear of judgment, and then you feel, oh God, just and out of that comes self-pity, and then you all these other demons can come in. But you see, rejection is a lack of love. And if you not don't feel loved, you'll turn to the world for love. Most people marry today for lust. They don't marry for love. And the world's substitute for love is lust. You just look at any television program, look at any movie, and they'll tell you that that's love and that's lust. Sexual lust. And so then you get lust comes in, and then you get fantasy lust, and you dream about it, and you think about it, and you watch television. And then perversion can come in. And these are things that can come into you. And on the little finger there, you get inferiority. And on the middle finger there, that's self-accusation. That's because you accuse yourself. You say, God, what did I do wrong to get rejected? You know, when you reject, the first thing you ask people is, what did I do wrong? Huh? What happened? How come you're rejecting me? Oh, what have I done? Tell me and I'll make it right. So you accuse yourself. And these people aren't there, and they just walk off and leave you, and you sit there and wonder and ponder, and you think, man, there's something terrible wrong with me. Or else you just say, poor me, and you get hurt. And then depression, despondence, despair, hopeless guilt. And then you get down to perfection. And you say, you know, if I can just do everything right, if I can just keep the rules, this is one of the reasons that people they become legalistic. If they keep all the rules right, nobody can possibly reject them or find fault with them. And man, they can find fault with you. And so pride, ego, and vanity come in there. You're proud that you can keep the rules. And there's a whole list of other things there that can come in. But on the other side is the outward. And that other big finger on the other side there, that finger, I don't want to hold it by itself, that finger number 7, is rebellion. And that is the outward working when you reject God's law, you reject authority, you come into rebellion. Remember that rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And you rebel and you decide that you're going to control all the folks around you. And you turn to manipulation, your witchcraft. Witchcraft is, there are three words that will define witchcraft. Manipulation, intimidation, domination. Now, men being bigger, stronger, more aggressive tend to intimidate. I was ministering to this large man, and I said, you have to understand, he's huge, you were over 6 foot, this big, you know. I said, even your very presence intimidates people. You're so big, they don't want to make you mad, they don't know what you're going to do. They're scared of you. And so, when you get angry, that is witchcraft. When you get angry and start from this, don't get him mad, man. You don't know what he's going to do. That's witchcraft. To dominate you, he intimidates you with his size. Women being smaller tend to manipulate. They twist their work behind the scenes and twist things around to get you to do things. Jezebel can be either intimidating or manipulating, generally both. I had one lady, she came to me, she's a pastor's wife, and she gave me this litany of her husband's sins. I mean, just a whole laundry list. And he had problems. I'll admit the poor man had problems. And she was trying to tell me how she was trying to get him to change. And she finally told me she's going to file for divorce. After all, her earnest ministry. And she said, I'll just tell him, I don't want to really divorce him. I just want to shake him out of his life so he'll come around and straighten some of these things out. I just want our genius. She was just going to manipulate him with a divorce decree. And I looked at her and I said, you know what you're doing is witchcraft. But she didn't want to talk to me anymore. I said, what you're doing is just absolute witchcraft. You're trying to intimidate your husband into giving you your way. I said, why don't you concentrate on changing yourself? Because the only person that you can change is yourself. Now, you can pray that God will bless him and change him. But when you start praying that God will make him miserable and can't sleep at night and will torment him so he'll turn around, that's a soulish prayer. It has power, but it is demonic. In James 3:13, it says, wherever you have selfish ambition, you ever have envy and selfish ambition, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. Now, the word in the King James says natural or sensual. Both of those mean soulish. There's not an English word named soulish. You look it up in the dictionary, you won't find the word, an adjective for soul in the English dictionary. There's one in German, one in Hebrew, one in Greek, but not in English. So they translate it natural or sensual, but it's soulish. And so you see there, you got rebellion and witchcraft, judgment, control, possessiveness, hatred, violence, resentment, and that thing going down is a root of bitterness. The more you try that, the bitter you get. You just get angry. Just remember this, that rebellion and bitterness come from the same Greek word, Hebrew word, mara. If you are rebellious, you will become bitter, and if you're bitter, you will rebel. They both come from the same root. That root of bitterness goes down. You can see anger, retaliation, murder, unforgiveness, just resentment, memory recall. Remember, you think about it all the time. And then over here, you have become stubborn and proud and obstinate and unteachable. That's idolatry, which follows rebellion. You remember 1 Samuel 15? Brother taught on that the other night. Idolatry. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity unto idolatry. Because really, you're idolizing yourself. And over here, the finger going out is accusation. The finger turning in is self-accusation. And you start accusing others. Now, we have a psychological term called projection. I can't really do it, but I want to show you this because rejection brings all this in. I don't like that schizophrenia up there because it's a medical term. And I had this poor little girl in the church who suffered from rejection from her family and suffered from rejection and suffered from rejection. And I got this tape by Brother Hammond and this piece of paper, and I said, now, honey, I want to give you this. I had the tape reproduced, and I just put rejection on it. I said, I want you to understand that this is, it is called the schizophrenic revelation, but it's about rejection. And it's something that you're bothered with. You say, I've always had rejection. I say, once you take it and listen to it, I think it'll help you. Well, she went off, and her demon coach began talking to her. Now, you got to understand, a lot of folks got demon coaches. And you would talk to them, and they'll say, yeah, yeah, and they'll agree, and they'll go off, and their demon coach will begin talking to them. And their demon coach, who's been with them all their life, and they think it's the Holy Spirit, or think it's their intellect, or their reason. And she came back in about 15 minutes with the pastor's wife, tears running down her eyes, saying, Dr. Noel, how dare you call me schizophrenic? Well, why'd you give me a tape on schizophrenia? So I went through it again with her, just like talking to that piano over yonder. I mean, nothing. Her demon coach had done a good job. I said, I am terribly sorry to have offended you. I apologize. Could I have my tape back, please? I won't keep it. No, I want it back. You can't have it. Give it back to me. I took it both back. So I'm sorry. I've offended you. Please forgive me. I would never intentionally offend you. I let her go. I told the pastor's wife, and she said, well, I had to bring her back. She'd been out there telling everybody, been spreading this venom all over the church. I said, yep, and she's still going to do that. Hallelujah. But I gave the tape to about 30 people in the church, you know. Listen to this. It's rejection. Most people appreciate it, but this girl, she really demonized, and her demon coach did a good job on her. What happens to you when you're rejected? What happens to you when you are rejected or you perceive that you're rejected? If God's covering is over you, and somebody comes up and tears into you about the job you've done, about somebody in authority over you, some friend, and just tears into you. Now, if you're under God's covering, you can look at them and you say, gosh, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I'll do the best I can. I'm sorry. And you can go ahead if they are. Or you can look at them and you can say, gosh, I'm terribly sorry. You got some sort of problem? What's wrong with you to make you act like this? Can I pray for you? I'm just sorry that you feel this way. Because there's nothing I can do to help you. And God's covering Isaiah, and that demon, rejection demon, sitting up on the top of that wing looking, trying to find a way to shoot that arrow down and take that sword to stick you. But his wing is covered. Ain't no holes in that wing. But if you're not under God's covering, you've gone back down to Egypt, and you're sitting on that mill, and you're irrigating your own crop there. And you got that spider web over you. That demon, he'd look up there, and he'd take that sword, and he'd just say, ugh! And that person comes and tears at you. Oh, God. And you hurt. Man, they have torn you up. And you know that you didn't do anything wrong, but still it hurts. And it hurts. And you just cry. And there are all degrees of this, you must understand. You go get healed. God will heal you. He'll touch you and he'll heal you. But the next time it happens, if you're still under that, you're still out yonder somewhere, he can still pierce you. I wish it was as black and white as I've described it. It's not quite as black and white as I've described it. It's like so many things in the spirit world. They're shades. They're shades. But the more you come under the wing of God, the less likely, the more you can stand rejection, and it doesn't come into you and pierce you and hurt you and cause you to feel rejected and cause you to get hurt and let self-pity come in and that deep hurt come in, that root of bitterness come in and cause you to rebel. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And so today, we're going to look. We're going to come against rejection. We're going to come against deception and false coverings. And we're going to ask God to set us free and to touch us and give us wisdom and understanding. You know, when I first started teaching, God told me that he won't be giving religious lectures without giving people an opportunity to get set free. And so we're going to call out some spirits now. I'm going to lead you in a general prayer to break some curses and this sort of thing, and then we'll come against rejection. When you're in a mass deliverance service, you sit with both feet on the floor. Don't cross your feet, cross your hands. You remember when you were a little kid and you used to cross your fingers? You could tell a story. You had your fingers crossed because you really didn't mean it. It's a witchcraft sign that you don't mean it. The devil is an absolute legalist. Cross your legs, cross your feet, and you come out of the demon, come out and say, you don't mean he's got his legs crossed. As you keep both feet on the floor, or take deep, gentle breaths, listen to what's been said, and set your mind against it. Don't pray in tongues. Don't pray audibly. Just set your mind against it and say, come out of me. Set your will against it. I want to be free. Because they come out, spirits generally come out of the breathing passages. He don't come out while you're praying in tongues or calling on the name of Jesus. He don't cross the name of Jesus. So they sit there. So let them go. Let what happens happen. You think that you might be undignified and lose your dignity? You got to choose between your demons and your dignity. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. I remember the first time I sat in the master list, about the third time. The first time nothing happened. The second time nothing happened. The third time nothing happened. The fourth time nothing happened. And I went to the man who was having the deliverance service, and I protested. I had come down here at great personal expense to myself, and I had left my office up and had to hire somebody to take care of it, and I'd been there, and nothing had happened to me. And I went up, and I protested. I told him, he was an implement dealer from Minnesota, and he said, well, maybe tonight will be your night. And I hope so. So anyway, I came and sat down, and he got up and said, this is the list of demons that God has given me to pray for tonight. He had my list. And he called out that first one. He threw me on the floor and I vomited. And I was about to get up, you know. And he called out another one and I rolled over and vomited again. And he called out a third one. And, you know, and I was just sort of rolling in my vomit there. And Irma came over. And she sort of stood over me. And she didn't touch me, you know. I was just covered up with vomit and just prayed for me. But you know something? I got free. And I went in and took a shower and changed clothes. And I felt like a new man. I had my dignity back. And we washed all those clothes, you know, and washed all that vomit off, and there wasn't nothing else. I won't say that's going to happen to you, but it happened to me. And I'm not ashamed of it. And I say, you let that happens, happen. Let them demons go. You sit there and press them down because you don't want nobody to know you got them. Nobody cares what you got. They're worried about themselves. They want to get rid of their demons. They ain't worried about yours. They don't want you. They're not interested in what kind of demon you got in you. They want to get theirs out. Praise your Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. So, let's all stand up now. It says that the brain can absorb, only can absorb what the fatty can endure. And y'all been sitting for about an hour. So you need to stand up and jump up and down and praise God a little bit. Praise your Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Stomp your feet. Clap your hands and shout a little bit. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. 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 Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. For great is your name and greater to be praised. Okay? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, before I start this, I want to say to you, I've had this printed out. The guy at the book table back there, along with a tape from Frank Hammond, which I would recommend each one of you buy. It is the best I've heard on this subject. It has a special anointing that I have. It just has a special anointing on it that just comes off Frank's tape. But this one's got a special anointing. And I would suggest that you get it and you listen to it a number of times. And it'll give you an instrument to help others with, and it will help you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, they have the tapes and they have the printout back there, and they will be glad to accommodate you at the book table. I don't make money off the book table. I just want to see people set free. Now, that is the best. It is an instrument. Pigs in the Paul is an excellent book. And I'd recommend it. It's a very good, basic book. Pigs in the Paul is excellent. It's an excellent, basic book. They Shall Expel Demons by Derek Prince is an excellent, basic book. The War on the Saints is an excellent book when you finish those two. I would not recommend you reading it until you read the other two very carefully. Blessing and Cursing by Derek Prince is an excellent book. Derek and I got the revelation at the same time. I'll always remember I got that revelation, and I came down and sat down and talked to Brother Glenn about it, and he said, it's from God. It's from God. He said, you heard this series of tape by Derek Prince? I said, no, let me listen to him. And Derek had my revelation. Praise God. You know the Holy Spirit wonderful? You know, you think that this is, you think you got a market on something? He tells everybody. He spreads it around. He tells everybody. Hallelujah. But it's nice to know. It's nice to know that you're hearing him. It's nice to know that you're hearing him. And I recommend those to you because they are excellent. There are other books that you can listen to, but that'll keep you busy 6 months if you really go through those very carefully. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
The Deliverance Manual will keep you busy for the rest of your life.
Yeah, the Deliverance Manual is good reference work, but you can't read it. Just sit down and read it. It's a good reference work, but your basic deliverance give you basic understanding. And you'll know what to do with the Deliverance Manual. Okay, let's all sit down now. I'm going to lead you in an affirmation prayer. Dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, and conviction of spirit, do I make the following confession? I've sinned against you and disobeyed your word. Whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity, I do now repent and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. By an act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors which I've opened to Satan. And I ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things And cleanse me.
In
spirit.
Soul.
And body.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
I renounce the occult.
Witchcraft, magic.
Seance, clairvoyance.
Medians.
Fortune telling.
Palm reading.
Tea leaf reading,
crystal ball,
card laying,
in the name of Jesus.
I renounce astrology
and interest in the horoscopes of the zodiac.
I renounce the heresy of reincarnation,
all hypnosis and mind reading,
mind control,
second sight,
ESP.
Water witching,
levitation,
body lifting,
table tipping,
astral projection,
soul travel,
thought projection,
and all other demonic skills.
I renounce all sorcery,
dependence on talisman,
such as St. Christopher's medals.
Mary medallions,
good luck charms,
rabbit's feet,
four-leaf clovers,
wishbones,
potions and ointments,
and vow destroying
in my possession
or under my control.
Now, people, if you've got those things in your possession or under your control, you need to get rid of them. If they belong to some other person, then you need that person's permission before you go destroy them. If they got them in your house there, you can anoint them with oil and pray over them and curse the demons. But I wouldn't suggest that you destroy somebody else's stuff without their permission. Praise you, Lord God. Our vow will destroy any idols to foreign gods. Which is a Buddha,
Mexican sun gods,
signs of the zodiac,
American Indian dolls,
voodoo dolls,
pentagrams,
and other abominations
on my person,
under my control.
I renounce, I'll destroy all literature
that I have on these fields.
And vow to destroy all such books in my possession.
And all such objects and pictures in my house under my control.
In the name of Jesus.
I break all curses,
hexes and vexes,
from any other source.
In the name of Jesus.
I break the curse of illegitimacy.
Incest.
Off my family line
for 10 generations.
I break the curse of idolatry.
Renounce any oaths
ever made by my ancestors
to any foreign god,
idol, cult,
fraternity or sorority,
the Masons,
Eastern Star,
by any other organization
of a demonic origin.
In the name of Jesus,
I break all curses of psychic heredity,
all demonic subjugation,
demonic soul ties
or bondages
to my father,
my mother,
my grandparents,
spouses,
ex-spouses,
for any other human being,
living or dead,
who's ever controlled me
or dominated me
in any way
contrary to the will of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I break the curse of mental illness
off my family.
Lord Jesus,
I confess
that I have resentment
against certain people.
People, if you got anybody that you have unforgiveness about,
anybody that you're mad at, that you're hurt with and mad at. You need to forgive and ask God to bless them. That's unforgiveness. You need to break that curse of unforgiveness because it blocks your deliverance. You need to pray for those people and say. And so here I just want you to very quietly name their names under your breath and say, I forgive John, Joe, Jim, Jack, and Johnny, or anybody else. Just very quietly, everybody put their head down now and just do it very quietly under your breath. And I ask God. Say, I ask God. To bless them abundantly and bring them to salvation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I break any demonic holds on me. I confess my sexual sin. And I break any demonic holds with anyone I've ever lusted after or had sex with outside of matrimony. I release them to Jesus Christ. And I call back my soul. And I release the foreign soul from me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, you know me. You know the thing that binds me. The thing that torments me, I call upon you as my Redeemer, kinsman, my Deliverer, to deliver me. For it says in your word, in Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Deliver me now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Lord, I just bind the spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. I say that there is no rejection in Jesus Christ, Lord God. That these people have all been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Rejection, I break your hold in the name of Jesus. I break your hold, rejection, in Jesus' name. I just break your hold on them in the name of Jesus. I say, come out of them now, rejection. All rejection and rebellion, I break your hold in the name of Jesus. These are not rejected children. These are children of God. Come out in the name of Jesus. All rejection, all rebellion, come out in Jesus' name. All rejection and rebellion, all deep hurt and anger and rage. Anger, spirits of anger and rage, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All anger, rage, and hostility, I break your power. I break your power and I say, come out in the name of Jesus. All deep hurt, come out. All deep hurt, come out. All fear, fear of rejection, fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted. Fear, I break your power and I say, come out, fear, in the name of Jesus. For God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I break fear. I break fear in the name of Jesus. I say, come out, fear. All fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not making the grade. Fear of not passing. I break your power and I command you to leave God. Leave these people of God in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All fear, come out. All anger and rage and hostility and rebellion, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I break the root of, I pull out the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. And I break your power and I say, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all anger, rage, hostility in the name of Jesus. All spirits of accusation and self-accusation, come out. We break your power, come out. All fantasy lusts, come out in the name of Jesus. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We bind you, we command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection, come out. Rejection, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out. All perfectionistic spirits, come out. All respectiveness, pride, ego, and vanity, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I break your power and I say, go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Praise your Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All stubbornness, stubborn self-pride, stubborn, arrogant, stubborn spirits, come out. Pride, arrogance, stubbornness, come out in the name of Jesus. I break the power. I break the power in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of stubbornness. I break the power of self-deception, of being unteachable in the name of Jesus. I break unteachable spirits. Come out. All spirits of unteachableness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all the goat spirits. I speak to the goat spirits. Come out, goat spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirit of the goat. Spirit of the lion, come out. Spirit of the rage, come out. Raging spirits, strong drink spirits, come out. For strong drink, come out. Mocking spirits, strong drink spirits, wine-bibbing spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Out. Out, all of you. I bind the spirits of... I bind the spirits of yoga in the name of Jesus. Come out. Kundalima. Kundalima, I break your power. I bind all the serpentine spirits. All the spirits of divination, come out. All the spirits of Python, come out. All the spirits of divination, come out. All the spirits of divination, come out. Come out. Come out. All the spirits of the tarot cards, come out. Of the Ouija board, come out. Come out. Come out. Ouija spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All tarot spirits, come out. All fortune-telling spirits. All spirits of the zodiac, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all of you in the name of Jesus. All water witching spirits, all pendulum spirits, come out. All false gods, come out. All antichrist spirits, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All spirits of infirmity, come out. All spirits of infirmity, I break your power. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I break the power of headaches. Come out. Come out. Come out. Headaches. Come out. Come out. Come out. Headaches. Come out. All migraine. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of migraine. I break its power. Come out, migraine. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, encephalitis. Come out, stroke. Come out. Come out, witchcraft, mind control. I break your power, witchcraft, mind control. I isolate you from every other spirit. You can draw no power, authority from any other spirit. I isolate you and I bind you and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! Go in Jesus' name. Go! All of you, go! All spiritualism, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of Christian scientists, come out. Christian scientists, come out. Christian scientists, all spirits of the Mormons, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Out. 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 Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of her in the name of Jesus. We break your power. Break your power, divination. We break your power, divination, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. All spirits of migraine headaches, come out. Come out. All spirits of encephalitis, come out. All spirits of stroke, come out. All spirits of sinusitis, come out. All spirits of allergy, come out. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of cataracts, come out. All spirits of glaucoma, I bind you all in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of Alzheimer's, come out. Come out. All spirits of forgetfulness, memory recall. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break your power. I break your power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All spirits of gingivitis, come out. All spirits of bad teeth, come out. Bad teeth, come out. I speak healing and restitution to the teeth now in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to the teeth in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and fillings and caps in the name of Jesus and crowns by the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. All infection. I speak healing. I release it to come forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise your name, Lord.
Praise you, Lord God. I come against esophagitis, duodenitis, gastritis. I come against lung disease. I come against emphysema, asthma, pneumonia, heart trouble in the name of Jesus Christ. Come against pneumonia. Come against emphysema. Come against empyema in the name of Jesus. Hydrothorax, come out. I break your power. Hydrothorax in the name of Jesus. Hemothorax, I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out! Come out! Come out! All of you, I break your power. Break your power. I bind you in Jesus' name. I come against the spirits of pancreatitis now. In the name of Jesus. Colitis, come out. Crohn's disease, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Diverticulitis, come out. Come out. 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 Come against gallstones, hepatitis, in the name of Jesus Christ. Cholelithiasis, come out. We break your power. I come against fibroid tumors in the name of Jesus. Come against menorrhagia and dyspareunia in the name of Jesus. I break its power. I come against phleleto. I break your power. And I say, turn them loose, phleleto, in the name of Jesus. I come against dyspareunia in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. I come against fear of sex in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. Fear of men. Fear of men. Come out. Fear of women. Come out. Man-hating spirits. Come out. I break the power of the man-hater. Man-hating spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your power, perverseness. Come against all the perverse spirits, all the man-hating spirits. Come out. Be gone, all man-haters. Come out. Out, 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 in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of perverseness now, sexual perverseness. I come out, the flash of spirits, the transvite spirits, come out. Come out, the pedophile spirits, come out. The homosexual spirits, the lesbian spirits, I bind you all, you perverse devils. Turn them loose, I break the curses. Turn these people loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Come against arthritis. Come out. Heart attacks and strokes. Come out. Come out. Swelling feet. Come out. Claudication. Come out. We bind you. Break your power. Come against the spirits of cancer. All cancer. I bind the demon of cancer. Cancer of the uterus. Cancer of the breast. Cancer of the cervix. Cancer of the prostate. I break the power of cancer. Cancer of the colon. I break its power. Cancer, I speak to you. I break your power. I curse you to your roots, and I command you to leave God's people now. Leave them in the name of Jesus. Leave them in the name of Jesus. Leave them. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I come against the spirit of abuse of power. I come against the spirit that would come in when power is authority is abused. It's called the abuse of power. I break its authority now. I break the deep hurt spirit, the deep hurt from abuse of power, that witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I break its power. I bind you and I command you to leave God's people. Leave them now. I pull you out. I put the hook in your nose and I draw you out in Jesus' name. I draw you out in Jesus' name. I break your power. Come on out of God's people. Come on out. Come on out of God's people. Come on out. Come on out of there. Come on out. Every bit of you. All deep hurt spirits. All root up bitterness spirits. All spirits of being. I pull the knife of betrayal out of their back in the name of Jesus. I pull their arrows out of their liver in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing and restitution now in the name of Jesus. Touch the wounded spirit, Lord. I come against the wounded spirit. The wounded spirit. Spirits that have been wounded in the name of Jesus. In Him we have restitution. In Him we have healing. Lord, I ask you to touch the wounds now, Lord. All the wounds of the people who've been wounded, Lord God. Lord, I speak healing to the wounded spirits, Lord God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.